The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sactown Sports.
Welcome back. Hey, we're halfway through. Halfway through.
Yeah.
Why are we going to look at that? All right. Welcome back. Kings, Pelicans tomorrow. National award-winning writer today, as a matter of fact. Hey, this is the second national award-winning writer I've talked to in 48 hours. I talked to Howard Beck the other day.
Oh, that's right.
Old friend Howard Beck.
Yes.
And joining us right now, almost as good, the one, the only.
Wow.
Sam, well, that's a compliment. Sam Amick. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, Dave. How are you, gentlemen?
See what okay. I did.
Hi.
I'm definitely Susan.
Yes. Hi, Sam. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good.
Good.
You're my real friend.
Good.
The funny thing about that little jab I took at Sam is it puts him kind of in a corner this early because he can't really crack back because he loves Howard and isn't gonna, you know, disrespect Howard back and be like, no,
well, hold on. What? I can, and this, now I'm gonna be sending this segment to Howard. I can definitely crack back on Howard. First of all, he went to UC Davis.
Ah, true.
That's a big blow against him.
Big no no.
Well, he was just in town, and even though we are very good friends and we work together as partners on the board for the Pro Basketball Writers Association, I looked up the other day at the Golden One Center as I stood courtside across the floor,
yep.
And I saw that Howard Beck came all the way to town and did not even bother to tell me.
Whoa.
Unbelievable. Big,
maybe not that good a friend, Sam.
Goes and works for the New York Times, and is with the Ringer. Maybe he's just a little Sam, maybe saying a little too big for his britches.
Maybe.
Unconfirmed. Okay.
He just doesn't like Hornets. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, could be.
It's award season. So one of the things I had promoted with bringing you on is we're going to try to delve. Now, I understand that some content you need to save because we want people to go and read The Athletic. It's fantastic. So I will give you as much of a buy as you want. But any chance we could maybe peek into where you were either leaning or where you voted for some of these postseason awards?
Yeah, that's fine. I don't know if I'm going to, and sorry, I'm now looking down at my phone because you're asking for this information. I don't know if I'm going to write about it, but I certainly don't mind being transparent about it. What is your curiosity, my friend?
Well, let's start with the one that most people here care about because it's the one that's involved, that we're involved in. And we talked to you a couple weeks ago. And it certainly sounded like you were definitely leaning hard one way. But in the end, where did your sixth Man of the Year award shake out, Sam?
I did vote for Malik Monk.
Yes! Well done. Good man.
Right answer.
Integrity.
Yeah.
I had Naz Reid second and Bobby Portis third, Norm Powell fourth, okay. Even though there is no fourth.
So literally, that's actually was a question. You do vote for three?
Yeah.
Top three?
Okay.
Is it like one of those?
Yeah. I mean,
yeah. Go ahead.
I, you know, the Naz Reid discussion is interesting because I had a pretty robust debate with Howard about this the other night because not to put his business in the streets, I think he did Naz. Naz being a starter and having this uptick in support in terms of his candidacy during his time as a starter, I just don't think honors the spirit of the award. Howard's disagreement was that part of being, you know, kind of a super sixth man is if somebody goes down that you are capable of, you know, playing that part. And I get it, but like those numbers, I don't think should really apply to the award. And then conversely, Malik, and this part is just not real sexy. Didn't really get that emphasized when it comes to the Kings and their promotion of Malik. But they went 3-5, or I think it was 3-5 without him.
Yeah.
And just fell off a cliff. And that I think also showed his value. I had Malik.
Nice.
I like that.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, just to piggyback on one of the wins ultimately that they did get, Sam, you were there the other night to see them. I mean, was that the best you've seen the Kings play when they beat the Warriors the other night?
ever.
No, this group. This group.
Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty shocking win. It's funny. I go to Warriors shoot around the day of the game, and none of the stuff we say actually matters, obviously. But what did crack me up was my own energy, and I'm just being totally transparent about this. Like, I go to Warriors shoot around. I have a nice conversation with Steve Kerr after his team does its thing. And at the end of the conversation, literally said to him, like, wow, the Kings owner's head is going to explode when you guys when you pummel them tonight. Wow. You know, like, that's kind of, I just thought it was going to happen. Kings weren't playing well.
So did
the Warriors.
It's fair.
Yeah. And I do wonder, the Warriors, I don't think really talked about this, but, you know, when you have a one game March Madness type situation, and, you know, I think you are a little prone to having a letdown, especially when you see this Kings team with no Malik Monk. And I mean, the Warriors just never responded. And you guys, I'm preaching to the choir, like, to watch the Kings go up big and then, of course, be going, okay, now when do they give it back? Because that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And to have them never really give it back was strange, but great timing. They look fantastic.
Can I do a thing I know you'll love and you can just choose to not comment? Can I just put you in a horrible position here and ask you about a colleague of yours?
Yeah, that's fine. I hope it's not one in particular, but go ahead. Yeah.
Is John Hollinger okay?
Why? What do you say?
I just want, can someone check on John?
What did he write?
Well, reportedly, he voted Bogdan Bogdanovic and Jonathan Isaac for sixth man over Malik Monk. And it's not like it's the first time John has been contrarian-esque with these things. It makes you wonder if somebody should just do a wellness check on the guy, who obviously, I mean, he worked in a front office. He invented PER. Like, it's not like he's dumb at basketball, but my goodness.
Yeah, I haven't talked to John a little bit, so I could check on him for you.
Yeah, check on him for us, would you?
I will definitely. We have had a chuckle in the past about how the city of Sacramento loves him.
Oh, just loves him.
And so, yeah, I do think that, not to generalize, but sure, like, that community, meaning you mentioned PER, so that's the player efficiency rating.
Yes.
It is one of the better stats to kind of encapsulate overall value, although it doesn't have much of a defensive metric. You know, in that same similar community, some friends and colleagues, Nate Duncan and Danny LaRue, had a podcast a little while back where they did their awards. And I don't know if their views changed, but between their two ballots for sixth man, Malik only got one third place finish. Wow. So lack of efficiency is something that is a major mark against a player like Malik for, you know, for some voters. Now, it wasn't, I mean, this was not, I mean, Jamal Crawford had years, or, you know, Lou Williams had years where the efficiency was far less what Malik had this year, but Bogdan's efficiency is something that, you know, is a mark for him, if that's the way you were, you know, prioritizing aspects of the game. So,
right.
But I'll check on him. I'm going to, you know,
very good.
I know you're worried.
I do care.
You're worried.
Yeah. I'm very worried.
Sam, injuries have hit, obviously, at the wrong time. We just talked about Malik. He's him being out for the Kings, but the Kings' next opponent is New Orleans. And whether it was last night, Jimmy Butler, or Zion Williamson the other day, you know, terrible timing for him because he was really starting to put it together here late and trying to make his first playoff run. What do you think the impact of really both of those significant injuries, maybe even throw Giannis in there? I mean, we got some high-level people that are out at the wrong time.
No, it sucks. It really does. I know it's good for Kings fans because they're winning this game tomorrow. But independent of that, it's really unfortunate. The Zion thing, I feel bad for him. You know, I don't know Zion at all. Nobody in the media really does because he keeps us at an arm's length. But regardless, like, you go from midway through the season just getting absolutely destroyed publicly for, you know, again, for your weight, for the way you're playing, or your kind of your lost promise and your inability to maximize your God-given talent. Then you put together a pretty special second half of the season. You evolve. You know, that guy hadn't been in the playoffs. And I feel terrible for him. He's out there just, you know, dominating a play-in game, having one of the best games of his career at the right time. So that is super unfortunate. The Jimmy thing, I hate because there's just, you know, he's on my short list of fun things to watch this time of year, Jimmy Butler in the postseason stage. You know, I don't like that. Giannis is on that same list. You know, Giannis is, when he plays like it's the playoffs when it's late October, but in the actual playoffs, not only is one of the elite competitors, but somebody who I think, I mean, he'll be back. I don't know when, but I think, you know, is going to have an even bigger chip on his shoulder than normal, because it sounds crazy to say, like, Giannis is being very overlooked right now. So yeah, it's bad all around. Did I leave somebody out, Jay?
Who else we got? Jimmy, you said Jimmy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's, you know, on the one hand, it's that time of year, but it's, this was like a little flurry right before the actual playoffs. That is, you know, a big bummer.
Well, speaking of playoffs and speaking of Giannis, his team, the Bucks, did not fare too well against the Pacers this year. And it is such an interesting situation developing where you had the best record in the Eastern Conference have their coach fired, and Adrian Griffin, to the point where the new coach, Doc Rivers, was coaching the All-Star team like 5 minutes after he took the job. And to say that the Bucks finished the season strong is largely incorrect. The Knicks end up catching them by a game for the two seed, still 49-33, but there is a world, as you know, Sam, because of the Pacers' success, where Indiana is able to knock the Bucks out in the first round. And they just signed Doc Rivers to a massive contract, and I know I'm being largely speculative here, but Sam, if Indiana were to knock out the Bucks, is, as weird as it is Doc Rivers on the hot seat or gone?
No.
Okay. All right. Okay. I mean, that's...
No, if anything, I mean, it's funny. The other day, our guy who covers the Pistons so well, James Edwards...
He loves Sacramento, too. He's huge here. People love him.
Man, stop having your Sacramento complex.
He said something like, what did he say? It was out of the blue. He said, Seneschal, he said, like, downtown Sacramento...
He writers don't like coming here. Like... Bro, like, can we be real? For years, they would come and go to Arco Arena and stay in Natomas. Like, you know, now we don't need to have this discussion.
But isn't that the do I look fat in this dress of sports journalism? Like, we know that's fine, but do you have to say it? It's very, very rude. It's rude, Sam.
It's 2024. Everybody says everything all the time.
Okay. All right. What did James say?
Nobody keeps their thoughts to themselves anymore.
Very true.
James, now I forgot what James said. I don't know. Troy Weaver, the head of the Pistons front office, is not going to be the head of the Pistons front office much longer. He's going to be there, but they're going to hire somebody above him. James reported about a possible tie-in to John Horst, who is the GM of the Bucks. And I only bring this up because it was a little bit of one of those storylines where it's like, you know, James is good at his job. And, you know, you connect the dots and you say, like, I think John, the head of the Bucks front office, is fine. But, you know, I think if the Bucks had absolutely sailed through the second half of the season, nobody would be speculating about the head of the Bucks front office going somewhere else.
Right.
Because as great a job as John has done, the reality of the Bucks situation, you know, he was on board all the way back when they drafted Giannis, you know, and then since then has built this contender and then won the championship, but they have not had a good stretch. And he hired Adrian Griffin after firing Mike Budenholzer. That was a disaster. You know, you made the trade for Damian Lillard that everybody thought was going to be great, has not worked out the way that they thought. So in terms of culpability, I would speculate that, you know, the spotlight is more on in that direction than it is on Doc. But yeah, the results have been awful. I looked at it the other day. I wrote about it. 17-19 since Doc took over. You know, the net rating, offensive rating, defensive rating, everything is is on the back end of the league. So it's not good. And then you have, like the other day, Stephen A. Smith made a random comment about Damian Lillard being unhappy and how he thinks that they should move him.
Saw that, yeah.
Yeah, so I think, you know, the Pacers thing can be absolute salt in the wound for all that ails the Bucks right now, because – you know, you go back to the Tyrese Halliburton in-season tournament stuff where he was tapping his watch and making fun of Dame Time. For me, that's probably the most interesting first-round series.
That, okay, so I was going to ask you that. What other series kind of has your attention? Obviously, we still have two more to fill out. Who will the eight seeds be in the East and the West? But as you look at the landscape of these playoff series, what else kind of catches your attention?
Yeah, I mean, in the East, I like that. There's a bunch of good ones. I like, you know, Sixers-Knicks is going to be fun. It's been a long time since those two teams, you know, clashed. And Joel Embiid didn't look like himself last night, but looked pretty good, and they pulled that game off. In the West, it's, you know, not as sexy in terms of big fan bases, but Clippers-Mavs is a really good series. Clippers were mediocre down the stretch, but showed a few signs late. Bunch of legacy talk within that team where you have James Harden, you know, no rings, Paul George, no rings, you know, Ty Lue trying to get another ring. The Mavs, of course, with Luka and Kyrie, we've talked about them a lot the past couple of weeks. I like the Suns T-Wolves series. You know, there's a theme this year that is interesting and probably just natural in terms of like father time marching on, but like having the LeBrons and the Steph Currys and the Kevin Durants and all these all-time greats be fighting for their playoff lives on the back end of the pack is, you know, wild to watch, because truthfully, Minnesota should be favored, probably is favored in that series. And so, you know, could we have Kevin Durant and to a lesser degree, Devin Booker and Bradley Beal saying goodbye in the first round? You know, it's a real possibility.
I love that you said there is a theme, because there is, especially in the West, where if you flip-flop these 10 years ago, more than likely they'd be upside down, where you have OKC as the one seed and Denver and Minnesota. And then, as you said, you have the legacy teams scratching and clawing. When we get to the Warriors and the fact that they're back, I want to share something with you that I said to Jason after that game. I said there was a point where, weirdly, I'm sitting and watching the game. It's fourth quarter. The game's wrapped. It's like 2 minutes left, and I'm looking at Steve Kerr. And, Sam, I felt bad for him in a sense. Looking at the box score, we talked about how, like, Kevon Looney, he had a little bit of foul trouble but played some very good minutes, but I think he only played, like, 8 minutes, and that was their big key to Sabonis last year. Moses Moody had 16 and I think, like, 14 minutes and was a plus. I think he was the only guy who was a plus on that team. And you had Clay play 32. He was 0 of 10. Obviously, Draymond, Steph, et cetera. I felt like Steve got thoroughly outcoached by Mike Brown, but I also felt like it almost wasn't his fault, that Steve was like, look, I'm going to stick with my legacy guys. I'm not going to embarrass them. And if that means that we lose this game, I'm going to lose it with them rather than making adjustments that maybe my better angels tell me I should make, because I don't want to not ride with these guys. I could be making that up. That could be all in my head. But I felt like he was almost a little bit handcuffed that night.
Yeah, I probably don't agree with you on that one, only because I know I'm not. It's your show. I'm supposed to. You're so smart, Dave. You got the box in front of you still?
Yeah, let me bring that up. Go ahead.
Kuminga and Trace Jackson Davis, how many minutes?
Let's see. Kuminga and
Trace. Well, I know Trace Jackson started the first seven, then didn't come until very late again.
11 for him. Kuminga had 28.
So, fine. My point is only supported by Kuminga. You know, I mean, Kuminga didn't play very well.
Right.
And that's a young guy. I mean, the thing is, I actually think their program is fine. It's just you have to change the expectations. You know, even internally, they're not going to broadcast this. Like, they know that, like, it's not that they're not trying to win championships still. Sure. They are. But it's a little analogous to the late Kobe years with the Lakers. And actually, this is a much better version of it, where you're going to win games. And maybe if you get some sort of unforeseen development, if Kuminga absolutely turns into a star, then you're back in title contention. They're going to be fine. It's made for a weird conversation already in terms of, is this the end of the dynasty? Well, yeah, but I think, and this is not for sure by any means, I wrote this yesterday, you know, like, I think Clay probably resigns. Mm-hmm. I probably think we're handicapping that Chris Paul is not back. That financially, they've got to get off his money. And I also know that they're extremely excited about, it's just not a small thing that Kuminga, Brandon Podziemski, and Trace Jackson Davis are really good. you know, like those are pieces that it's a little like the Kings where your growth is going to come if a Keegan Murray takes the next step. That's how they're looking at it. As far as Steve, I mean, he did get out coached by Mike. I mean, he would say that he lost the game and didn't find adjustments, you know, Sabonis. And I saw, and I wish I could credit who it was. There was a good clip online talking about the adjustments the Kings made this year compared to last year and some of the actions up top. You know, the Kings learned from that game a year ago, and they played really, really well.
Yeah, it's interesting. So I want to go back to the Clay part. You think it's kind of mutual. He would want to be back. They would want to keep him. That's your guess?
Well, I mean, that was certainly the strong sense I got going into that game the other night. And so now the question becomes, as far as the human component, how tough is this experience? The 0-for-10 showing is not nothing. Like, Joe Lacob, very much like Vivek Ranadive, is, and a lot of owners, is an emotional guy. And so, you know, Joe probably has a number in his head of like, Clay, I love you and we can bring you back, but like, if you ask for more than this, then I just can't sleep at night. So, you know, the feelings component matters because Clay has been offended, really, by, and he's not alone. Joe Lacob has tough negotiating style, even with some of the most beloved Warriors of all time. Like, he irritated Steve Kerr and Steph Curry to varying degrees when he was figuring out their stuff. Draymond's different because Draymond's always been having to, you know, kind of apologize to the organization. But with Clay, it's, you know, he has to feel respected. So if the Warriors get that aspect done and they find a middle ground, then I think he'll be back. But Orlando does loom as a real threat. And then I wrote about how Dallas, you know, is considered a team that's worth watching as well.
I guess it doesn't work this way, but is there anything to saying to Clay, the salary cap next year is $141 million. The Golden State Warriors right now are at 209 and are slated without Clay to be at 175. That's without Clay. And oh, by the way, we paid you $43.2 million last year for 18 points, 3 rebounds, and 2 assists on 43% shooting. So can we have some of that back?
What did he shoot from 3?
He shot 38.7. Not bad.
I think he finished top 3 in threes made.
He had 3.5 threes made, down from 4-4. And he also had 9 attempts per game. I mean, I'm not.
No, I hear you.
Tell me, Clay wasn't severely overpaid this year.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
Did you see his press conference yesterday?
I did not. No.
Ooh wee. I texted our guy Anthony Slater, who was there, and I just, all I said was, "Wow, cranky Clay. He does not enjoy talking about his future." That again, that human component, I do wonder, like, oh boy, like Clay's really, I don't think, in a great place. And I get it. He just played terribly. The other night after the game, he did not talk to the media, was very edgy, and he's not normally that way. He took a little kind of shot. A reporter tried to get him, and it wasn't me, but he was like, vultures. You know, he was a little salty after that game. Then he goes to the press conference. And I only bring this up because you talk about the previous contract, which is a very valid point. You know, they took care of him during a time when he had multiple serious injuries. Kendra Andrews of ESPN basically asked him about, you know, the idea that the Warriors typically take care of their guys and how they took care of him back with that contract after the injuries. And rather than say, no, you're right, they did. And I wish you would have seen this, guys. He kind of scoffed and he laughed and he goes, huh? He goes, can you imagine if they didn't pay me? Like, oh, four titles. Cool. Good luck. You got hurt. It's something to that effect. And it was a little moment of truth that was like, wow. Okay. So, and I do see his point. You won 4 championships. It would have been a bad look not to pay him, but there wasn't any bandwidth left over in his mind for the idea that yes, that should be factored in and remembered. So if he's that edgy going into free agency about the relationship, then who the hell knows?
Well, we got a break, but screw him, man. He made sorry, he made $68 million over 2 years that he didn't play. And I understand he was hurt, but come on. You made $68 million plus 42 this year, which is about double what your value was. Good luck, because I don't know. That just that strikes me as weird, dude. But and I've always liked Clay, to be honest. But that's my opinion. You can read Sam's opinions in The Athletic. Subscribe. It's like a penny a month or some crap. I pay a lot more. I'm happy to do it for me and my son. It's the best sports journalism you're going to find, all curated both on the app and on the web for you. So please do support our friends and go to theathletic.com. Samuel, thank you. Go yell at Howard Beck, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Thank you.
At Sam, we're way late for a break. When we come back, we'll take a look at the other series. Let's see if we can get this Caitlin Clark conversation in somewhere as well. We'll do that next.
The only place in the morning to get your sports fix.
Live and local.
The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Our thanks to Sam Amick.
Samick.
Samick. He's a card. He's a fine chap.
Yes, he is.
The other NBA series that we don't care about as much. Boston is waiting for the winner of Miami and Chicago. That'll be interesting.
I mean, earlier on when the 7-8 game was listed as obviously Philly, Miami, I thought, man, the loser will probably beat the Chicago Atlanta winner.
Yeah.
And that's Boston's reward, getting Philly or Miami. Well, now, if it ends up being Chicago or Miami, and Miami without Jimmy Butler changes things a little bit.
It does. Now
could you imagine if Boston wins all these games against Joel Embiid in the first round?
Right.
Like, that doesn't seem right.
No, not at all. That's a weird injury. Yeah. Although we've said before, Embiid doesn't look right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but now he's 7, and yeah, they get the Knicks.
Philly graduates to New York now. They'll take on the number 2 seed Knicks.
Should be fun.
Yeah, I think so. I'm looking forward to that series, as am I looking forward to the Bucks and Pacers.
They don't like each other, and I'm good with that.
I'm here for it.
Yeah.
And it all comes out in the playoffs. You see each other at least 4, if not 7 straight times. And then this kind of a, you know, you could argue this is the series really nobody cares about.
Yeah. Is it like the tree falling in the woods? Will anybody see Cleveland, Orlando? And it might end up being great.
It might, yeah. Oftentimes that happens. But Cavs and Magic, and the Magic kind of on the right track here.
Yeah,
getting in 5 seed, good for them. And then in the West, you got the Clippers in Dallas.
Fun.
I'm really, really excited for that. Minnesota Phoenix is going to be kind of fun to look at.
Yeah.
Denver and the Lakers, first round, LeBron versus Jokic.
I thought they were supposed to lose on purpose so they wouldn't face Denver, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah, Darvin Ham laughed at that one. And then Oklahoma City waits for the winner of the Pelicans and Sacramento.
Let's go.
On Friday. Let's go. We are. You and I will both be there. You will be doing the show live from New Orleans. You're taking off here in about 3 hours, provided there's no delays. You'll be in New Orleans tonight for dinner.
Yeah.
Any thoughts?
I don't know yet. I mean, actually, it sounds like the connector is a little delayed, so it might be a little bit later.
Late
arrival.
Night?
Yeah.
Does anything stay late? Open late
it's
in
open.
New Orleans?
New Orleans is always open.
It's always open. So you'll be there. Incredible. I will join you tomorrow afternoon, and we will tomorrow evening, and then boom, in for the game. And
yeah.
Very nervous. Very nervous.
And you've been to that arena already. So,
I have been
it's
to the
okay.
arena. My, I've told you that they have the, I haven't been to every arena, but of all the arenas I've been to, that is the best popcorn setup by far.
Oh.
I will head over there. Yeah. It's not just the popcorn and the movie theater butter, but they have the big industrial size shakers of like 6, you know, Cajun seasoning and garlic powder and this and that and bloody blue. And I'm going to popcorn my face off.
I have a lot of elbow room too.
A lot of elbow room?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Pretty cheap tickets.
Yes, Chris. You were looking at this. Tell us about this. Is Pelicans Kings some of the ticket availability there?
Well, I just went on just looking earlier to see like, okay, let's say I was in New Orleans. I want to go to this game. If you go to their site for Ticketmaster, a lot of $15 tickets available. A lot of $16 tickets available. Of course, these are up in the upper levels. If you want to get to the lower level, you're going to have to pay $70 to get to the lower level.
Didn't I hear at one point the get-in price for the King was like $272
for Kings Warriors?
For Kings Warriors.
I believe that.
Like, what are we, and that's not a shot at the Kings, by the way. That's just, you know, I'd love it to be cheaper, but that's just the market. Yeah, I'm looking here right now, and you get tickets available. Oh, my God. You could go upper level 305, which is the corner, row 15, $11.
Wow. Well, won't Kings Thunder be less expensive than Kings Warriors one game?
By a good margin.
Yeah.
By a good margin. And part
you
of that.
You think so?
I don't know, by a good margin. I think it'll be less.
Well, Oklahoma City sells their games out. Don't get me wrong there.
No, I mean.
I'm thinking here.
I'm sorry.
No, yeah, I meant here at Golden Wings. No. Because the draw, I mean, look, it ended up being. I mean, is it the last game of the Warriors? Is it the last game of the Kings? It's the rivalry. It's here. Now you've got. There's always people from the other team in the building, but there will not be that many people from the Thunder if the Kings advance.
No, because you don't have, you don't have the geography situation where you don't have the geography situation where you have two of the most rabid fan bases 90 miles apart for a one-off. That's a, that's a perfect storm, if you will.
And the best thing about a possible Kings Thunder matchup. Mm-hmm. No chance anyone from Seattle is going to be having anything to do with it.
Oh, Jesus. That's the best thing.
That's really right.
It's the best part about it.
Nothing wrong with that at all. Wouldn't it be funny if like one person showed up in like a Kansas City Kings jersey and was like, what about us?
Protest.
Just so you know, by the way, that's the cheap tickets. I'm looking in section 114. Now, there's two 114s. There's 114 in the bowl. Mm-hmm. And then the way they have things set up at Smoothie King is you have, I think it's three or four rows of folding chair seats.
Oh, front row of life.
Front row of life. So you have the floor seats, or as they say, Jason, on the wood. Then you have the folding chairs that are directly behind the benches, for example. So you can go row two, right? Row three, a pair of tickets. Row three, which would put you three rows behind the Kings bench. It'd be enough to smell
like a turkey sausage.
Turkey sausage, right? You could smell Keon Ellis's shampoo.
Hmm.
Okay, you're that close.
Yeah.
Now, I ain't sniffing at this amount of money, but $355 each, which is what a lot of concerts go for. Like, that's incredibly accessible for a lot of people. Those seats at Golden One Center would be well over $1,000. Yeah. Well over $1,000. So, hey, if you're in the New Orleans area and you want to go see the Sacramento Kings play, you can get in the door for $11. You can get on the floor in the lower bowl for $100.
Yeah, you better be in the area because the problem is now trying to get flights. It's
I looked the day before yesterday. The cheapest round trip I found was $910.
Yeah. Yeah, so when some people were floating around, it'd be cheaper to
Oh, man, I'm out of cash. Yeah.
To go to New Orleans and go to the ticket would be, not the flight.
The flight will cost you well more than the ticket. We'll take a break. When we come back, let's look at who's hot. How about who's not?
Okay.
And I believe we need to go streaking. So let's streak it, take them clothes off, and we'll be back after this.
What's hot?
Yeah, hot. Real hot.
And what's not?
It's not good.
Brought to you by American Energy Heating and Air, Sacramento's complete heating and cooling company and second opinion partner.
Who? Well, just ask it straight out. Who's hot?
Nick Batum.
Nicholas Batum.
Off the bench for the Sixers, he scored 20 points and was 6 of 10 from 3, most of those coming in the second half. The Sixers 105-104 win over the Heat.
He had this one putback where he's flying underneath the basket and simultaneously grabbed the rebound while in the air and threw it back up for the score. I'm like, I had Nick Batum retired.
All right.
What?
Been around a long time.
What is he, 50? Good for him.
He's on celebrity birthdays today.
Is he really?
No.
Oh. Well, I guess we would have found out. Well, good for Nick Batum. And a nice advance for the Sixers, who were, by the way, the Sixer fans. You think people here get sensitive when Kings fans boo? Oh, my God. They were booing Tobias Harris off the floor.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
He threw up a brick-a-roni. Oh, my gosh. Did you, who's calling me here? Did you, this is a real freaking thing that happened, Jason. This might be, I don't think I'm overstating it here. This is one of the most ridiculous, one of the most ridiculous headlines I've ever seen.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about. I saw it from you. If it's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, it is. Here we go. Our content part, and by the way, this isn't a knock on our friends at KCRA at all. I you got to report this. It's just the story itself is absurd. Warriors Klay Thompson accused of vandalism spree by confused artificial intelligence. What? Well, according to the new AI generating features on Twitter, Klay Thompson's performance against the Kings was actually critical. The AI-driven side of Twitter's timeline showed fans a stark headline, quote, Klay Thompson accused in bizarre brick vandalism spree. Quote, in a bizarre turn of events, NBA star Klay Thompson has been accused of vandalizing multiple houses with bricks in Sacramento. Authorities are investigating the claims after several individuals reported their houses being damaged with windows shattered. Klay Thompson has not yet issued a statement regarding the accusations. The incidents have left the community shaken, but no injuries were reported, and the motive behind the alleged vandalism remains unclear. Now, there is a meme type of post on Twitter when somebody has a bad night, and here's basically how it works. Somebody tweets out, first off, I'm okay. My house was vandalized by bricks. After my hands stopped shaking, I managed to call the sheriff. They were quick to respond. My window was gone, and the police asked if I knew who did it. I said, yes, it was Klay Thompson. The joke, of course, for the four of you left that don't get it, is that Klay Thompson was 0 of 10. He threw up so many bad shots, or what are called bricks, that people use that as a joke. So many people tweeted that joke.
It was a very popular comment, huh? That popular to become a headline.
That AI
caught it.
Klay Thompson
literally was
vandalizing houses with bricks. It's left the community shaken, but no injuries
shaken,
reported.
But pleased, which is weird.
Now,
you know, the AI actually came out and apologized for that.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Awkward.
What was that again, Chris?
Oh, man, you're putting me on the spot.
Oh, man. Hello, Thelma Cash. That's still terrible. What did the AI say? Word?
Awkward.
Okay.
Awkward.
Now, real quick before we move on, in defense of KCRA, that they aggregated that story. The story actually originated in SFGate by some Dinglehoffer named Alex Simon. Why do I call him a Dinglehoffer? Well, that's two pieces of garbage in a row he's put out. This is the same jabroni.
Is it Matt George?
No, it's...
Oh, it's a different one?
It's, no, this is the one where this guy put out an article the day of the game, and the headline was, Warriors fans have new embarrassing Kings gimmick to laugh at.
Oh, yeah.
And the story was all about the, like, defensive player of the game thing and how stupid it is. He conveniently left out that the Warriors actually stole the whole, what is it, We Believe narrative from us back in the mid-2000s. They tried their own beam, but it looked like somebody was peeing on Chase Center because it was yellow.
Wait, what was the name of that reporter?
Alex Simon.
Okay, this is a different one. Remember when Matt was joking around and they say, Sacramento reporter wants to terrorize San Francisco community.
The bridge, right? Wasn't he?
Yes. Like,
yeah.
Because that was also SFGate.
I forgot all about that. Golly.
So they doubled down?
That is well played that they doubled down. What a wiener schnitzel. That guy gets paid. Alex Simon. Alex Simon, you're not hot. Who else is not hot, Chris?
Oh, I better finish that up. The NBA 10 seeds.
Ah.
The 10 seeds have yet to make it to the playoffs since the creation of the play-in tournament. The 10 seed has yet to make it, and they are 2-8 in those games all time.
Woof.
Wow. Wait. Oh, we're the 9 seed.
Okay. Yeah. The Warriors are the highest 10 seed ever. Best record for the 10 seed.
Wow. Legend drug use amongst Warriors.
Yes. What do you say about that, AI?
They're the... Just got a high-pressure job at REI. It's so intense. Somebody said. So intense. But it sounds like so intense. But he's so intense. Let's go streaking.
It's time to go streaking.
We're going streaking!
So intense.
Who is the Nostradamus of MLB?
Who can keep the streak going? It's time to go streaking.
What the hell are you doing?
You're streaking!
All right, how are we doing, Jason Ross?
Let's find out. Dave, you were without a hit, so you needed to get a hit to start a streak at one. You went for the fish. Mike Trout. Four plate appearances. One home run. That's a hit, right?
Yes, that is.
So you're at one.
I am at one. Hey, remember the old thing? Can you say fish with your mouth closed? Can you? Say fish. Chris, can you?
Fish.
Is your mouth closed? Fish with your mouth.
Fish.
And then people try it, and then you say, no, stupid. Fish with your mouth closed. See, I said it. See.
No, it's like this.
I was at two.
I hate my life.
And you said life.
Life. What?
Okay.
Oh, as opposed to I hate her too. Wow. I hate everybody.
I was at two consecutive days with a hit, so I selected Corey Seager, the world champion Rangers. Can you say Corey Seager? No, just Corey Seager.
Oh, Corey Seager.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, Bob's kid.
Four plate appearances. He had two hits.
Oh.
I'm at three.
You're at three.
Whee!
I think if you get multiple hits, that counts. That you're actually at four? No?
No, I'm at three.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. And then Chris was at zero, so he needed a hit, so he went to the old reliable Mookie Betts.
Mookie Betts.
He had four plate appearances, and Mookie Betts... zero hits.
Come on!
Oh, wow, what's that like, not getting a hit with your guy?
So Chris, zero. Dave, one. I'm at three.
Couldn't figure it out.
Limited number of teams playing today,
there
so be careful
sure
in your selections.
Sure gosh. The
light schedule. Giants, though, in action.
Giants are in action.
These are off.
I haven't picked a Giant yet this year. Let's keep that streak going.
Logan Webb's pitching, so he has time to get to New Orleans tomorrow to watch his Kings.
Give me Mark Semien.
Mark S. Semien?
Mark S. Semien.
Okay.
Of the Rangers.
Marcus Semien. I'm going to take from the Chicago Cubs.
Mark Grace.
Michael Bush.
Oh, Michael Bush. Bush.
Chris?
Yeah, big Michael Bush.
Yeah.
I am going to take from the Boston Red Sox, Tyler O'Neill.
Tyler O'Neill. Chris, he's going to hit a home run today.
I know. That's why I picked him.
Yeah.
Feeling confident. All right.
We stroke. Yes.
We'll take a break. When we return, the Pelicans without Zion. Okay, no Zion Friday.
Okay, what's next?
How have they done?
We'll
go back to the 90s for that one. Nope, they didn't exist. And also, coming up a little bit later, unless we have time to sneak it in here, could the Kings' secret weapon be hockey?
Huh?
What is that? That's a tease. We'll get to that next.